And welcome to Unit 9, Potential Issues with Adoption and Installation of an HIT System. This is part of Component 7, Working with HIT Systems. In this unit, the basics of human behavior, change, and adaptation will be discussed. Strategies for dealing with barriers to implementation, both human and structural, will also be discussed. This is different than Unit 8. Unit 9 deals more with the people side of things, the behaviors and the attitudes, while providing strategies and tools for you to use. The learning objectives for Unit 9 include the following. You will be able to identify frequently encountered challenges to adoption and implementation of HIT systems. You will also be able to propose solutions to common problems in the implementation of such systems and design a plan to address the barriers to implementation of an HIT system. The required reading by Walsh, entitled The Clinician's Perspective on Electronic Health Records and How They Can Affect Patient Care in the British Medical Journal, is presented as a sort of lessons learned mode. Walsh begins by making the point that systems often fail because of difficulties with data entry. But in reality, what he's really pointing at, and it's just as big of an issue today as it was in 2004 when he wrote this article, is that systems often do not support clinical workflow and put a barrier between the clinician and their patients and their work. Systems can get in the way. Walsh asserts that, quote, technology should complement and improve clinical care, not impose extra burdens on already overloaded medical staff, unquote. As discussed in prior units, usability and workflow support are very important aspects, and if the system fails on these two dimensions, your job in encouraging adoption and use of HIT by clinicians and others will be difficult, if not impossible. So what about this quote-unquote lack of the story metaphor that Walsh talks about? So it is said that humans relate to one another by telling stories, and that computer systems push people into pick boxes of rigid terms, and this runs counter to the way that people normally think and interact. So the four bullets on the slide are directly from the article. Walsh makes the point that narratives are essential to a patient's episode of illness. He also says that poor communication is often more detrimental to patients than lack of knowledge. He says that computers should enable clinicians to capture these types of narratives easily. And then his final point was that the structure of the patient's record strongly influences the ease of information retrieval. So we do know from the research that poor communication is a major contributor to error. And since clinicians and patients communicate by telling stories, the ability to be able to listen and interpret and then record that story in an EHR is critically important. So when you really think about it, taking the patient's story and putting it into an organizational form has really given rise to that tab metaphor that we spoke of earlier in the term and has resulted in many EHRs being organized in similar ways. So, even though we've been teaching you the VA Vista system as part of this course, I think you're going to find that most systems look pretty much the same, or at least have the same functions. It's like the same play on a different stage. There are many things that can make or break the adoption and installation of HIT. However, most of the critical success factors for implementation fall into one of these three categories: user characteristics, system design characteristics, and organizational characteristics. So these user characteristics, the first one there, these are also called the people problem. So these are the individual differences like cognitive styles, personality, demographics, and situational variables, and also like user expectations of what the system is going to do for them. We call those the WIFM. So you see the bubble there on the slide, WIFM, W-I-I-F-M, stands for what's in it for me. So if you hear someone say, what's the WIFM, you'll know what they mean. It also includes their attitudes towards change and technology, their job, and things of that nature. So those are the user characteristics. The system design characteristics are another aspect that can determine the ease of adoption, acceptance, and can make the implementation process either a beauty or a beast. So we've talked about this before. I mean, how easy is the system to learn? How usable is it? How good is the graphical user interface or the GUI? Was it designed with the user in mind? So remember how we've discussed the clinical environment of high stress, constant interruptions, and how different groups of users think and organize differently. The last critical success factor are the organizational characteristics that can influence adoption. If the boss is not committed or bought in to the idea of automation in the environment, then the chances of success are greatly lessened. Conversely, if the environment is full of what we call the digital natives, who grew up with the technology and fundamentally think differently about technology than some of us who were not raised with a computer in our crib, then adoption of HIT may be less of an issue. Ultimately, the organizational culture can make or break the HIT adoption process. The takeaway here is that different flavors of these HIT critical success factors should be acknowledged, understood, and planned for very early in any implementation process. There are several common challenges to adoption and integration of HIT. One of them being when HIT is being implemented, you have to get people to change the way they record data. And sometimes people say that's like trying to get somebody to change their religion. It's difficult. So for many, it's really much easier to pick up a piece of paper and write a note, especially if they're not used to computing technology and keyboards. Clinicians are also very sensitive about looking slow or incompetent in front of their patients or subordinates. This is changing, of course, as computing becomes more and more mainstream, but I can guarantee you that you will have the experience of getting snapped at by someone who has not shifted into mainstream computer use yet. So clinicians also often find it easier to record in free text. It's sort of like that story again, you know, the narrative, right? But as it has been said, free text isn't. Isn't what? It isn't free. The actual costs that are incurred from free text are very high. Reading, handwriting, understanding nuance, extracting quality measures from free text is next to impossible, and having a root canal could probably be more fun. The infamous patient had a good day that you'll see in a narrative note. Well, what the heck does that mean? Patient had a good day. Good grief. So we have structured text, pick lists, and the like, which have both good and bad dimensions. So clinicians will balk at the notion of trying to represent the richness of a patient presentation in a pick list. So it is sort of tough on the front end. And as a clinician myself, I can understand that. It's very difficult to take a living human being and represent them in a series of pull-down lists. But when there is a need for concise data in rapid order, in order to be able to meet a regulation or qualify for an incentive, or identify patients at risk for a certain condition or side effect, the drudgery and difficultness of wandering through shelves and shelves of paper charts soon makes one want to kick themselves for not using a structured way to capture and store the data in the first place. So, in short, structured data can be difficult on the front end, but generating reports and extracting data from digital records is much easier, at least most of the time, than manual chart review. The point is made in the article that reading text on a computer screen is up to 40% slower than reading printed text. So this has bearing on clinical use and impact. In short, the order, the speed, and the manner in which an EHR displays information can really influence decision making. So Walsh said, quote, "If the computer is used to generate output, the layout and structure of the reports are important, as this can influence clinical decisions in sometimes fundamental ways." So, I mean, really think about this a little bit, what he says there. The layout and the structure of the reports are important, as this can influence decisions in sometimes fundamental ways. So if you look at that stop sign in the graphic there on the slide, it's very interesting. It's almost like subliminal messaging. I bet you that stop sign is near a shopping mall. So another example of layout and presentation of information that can influence decision making. Look at these two examples above. Which one do you think more people would choose as a medication they would be willing to take for their diabetes? Number A, or A, diabetic medication X, or B, diabetic medication Y. If you choose A, you're right. Even though both of these descriptions describe the identical same drug, this is something called the primacy effect, and it's totally related to the order of presentation. So you can see that A started off with a positive wording, this medication is effective, where B started off with this medication may cause headache and nausea. In this particular study, which is cited at the bottom of the slide, you will see that there was significantly more people chose A, even though the descriptions are identical. It all has to do with what you read first, what you see first. So what does this have to do with HIT? Well, the way that an EHRS or CPRS presents or displays the data will influence clinical decisions. So if there are two drugs that have the exact same effect, then maybe would you design the system like the CPOE to present the least expensive one first? Well, so, you know, this sort of cuts both ways, of course, because people can be influenced in negative ways as well. And there's a chance of mischief here. But I just want you to really be aware of the primacy effect and how presentation, either on a paper, on a sign, or in an EHR, can be used to influence behavior. Other challenges to adoption and integration of HIT include issues about funding. While the high-tech incentive payments to meaningful users of qualified EHRS have taken some of the wind out of this argument, there is still pushback. So, quote, officials at CMS estimate the EHR system adoption or upgrades of existing systems to meet federal standards will cost on average about $54,000 per physician employee in a practice, while annual maintenance will cost an average of $10,000 per physician employee. And that comes from the Psychiatric News on May 7th, 2010, volume 45, number 9, page 6. From the American Psychiatric Association. So many clinicians feel that they're going to get stuck with the tab, but the major benefactors are going to be the insurance companies and the government. So this may have some element of truth to it, although I return to my mantra of you can't manage what you can't measure, and you can't measure that which is trapped in paper data cemeteries. So eventually we may all benefit, and I would hope that the majority of the benefit attributes to the patient. So as mentioned earlier, workflow and culture are two key barriers to adoption. Click. Culture eats strategy for lunch. There's also a fair amount of turnover in healthcare. So turnover is one of the things that leads to lower adoption. If all of the time is spent in training people as they come in and out through the revolving door, there's less opportunity to move past the train-up stage and into independent and adventuresome use. So we've discussed the challenges, but what might be some of the solutions that you can use? One of the articles provided by Adler is very handy and a very practical article that I think will be helpful for those of you who end up supporting HIT adoption efforts in provider offices and small clinics. However, if you look at these three T solutions of team, tactics, and technology, you'll see represented on the slide here. I know it's very small, so don't get to make yourself blind over this. It is in the reading. Actually, many of these 3T solutions are going to fit almost any setting. So I really didn't see any of the solutions offered on the slide that would not work in a large urban setting versus a small safety net clinic or a 3-member practice office. So for instance, like in that last row there, the technology, have a disaster recovery plan and test it. Well, that's important for all of us. And I think about those of you that are watching these slides on that laptop or desktop that probably you haven't backed up in a long time, okay? Everybody needs a disaster recovery plan. It doesn't matter whether you're in a small unit or a giant one. I had a professor once who said there were two kinds of people in the world, those that lost data and those that are going to lose data. So remember that. Look in the middle column, plan, plan, plan. And train, train, train. And whatever you do, don't go live on a Monday. Seems fitting to me almost no matter where you go. In column one, there's establish realistic expectations. So this is huge. If people think that the EHR is going to solve all of their problems, then they're in for a big letdown. You really have to temper your users' expectations. So I also really like that last one in column one, too. It says, don't try and implement an EHR in a dysfunctional organization. Well, I don't know about you, but almost every organization I've ever worked at has been a bit dysfunctional. So I think you really need to be reasonable when you try to heed this bit of advice from Dr. Adler. But I really think you should save these three T's, because they are very, very good advice for some solutions and strategies for dealing with difficulties of implementation and adoption. Now, this next slide, again, very tiny. This should be provided as a handout by your instructor. We will also make sure to embed a link so that you can find this yourself if your instructor has not provided you with this. So I don't want anybody to go blind because of this. These intervention strategies can be used as you develop a plan to overcome the barriers that we've already discussed. So if you think about the potential barriers before they happen, you will be more prepared to intervene. A stitch in time saves nine. So I want you to look at this and understand that you can take out the word physician. This comes from a physician's journal, so of course they've used the physician word liberally. You can take out that word physician and substitute it with user or stakeholder or whatever to customize this to your audience. It will apply in almost all circumstances, although I did find myself removing any reference to incentives. Because while incentives may work for physician groups, It may not work for other stakeholders. So often nurses and other allied health professionals do not have the luxury of an incentive, and they're just required to do it as part of their job performance. And I guess we can certainly say that the same for military users. So if the ranking officer says use it, then you will use it. So look at each of those. Just take a few moments to look at the perceived barriers and possible interventions. Just plan in advance with your, think about your change process, your organization, time issues, technical issues, finance issues, this, that, and the other. And finally, I wanted to make sure to provide you with these links to an absolute treasure trove of tools that are very useful. So we really could spend an entire semester teaching you about all of these skills that you may need to call upon in the world of HIT as you work to encourage adoption and implementation. But even if we spent a whole semester teaching this, we would just be skimming the surface. And there is just no way we can teach you all that you need to know. So the best thing I can do is really teach you where to find the answers. So these sites contain very deep collections of tools that you might find useful as for you as you get out into the HIT world or maybe in some of your other classes. So I want you to remember that they're here. Don't forget that they're here and tuck them into your toolbox. Don't go out and reinvent the wheel, create a survey checklist or whatever to make sure that you've crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's for implementation. They're already out there. People have already done this. Use the tools that exist. These and others will help you to help us all get to the level of HIT adoption that our country needs. And with that, we have finished the slide deck for Unit 9 of Component 7, Working with HIT Systems. Have a great day.